over Baghdad has been illuminated. We're seeing bright flashes going on all over the sky.
Welcome to another episode of Radio Contra, the podcast of American Partisan, those boys that are always down to boogaloo, the members of the much vaulted and exalted Mossy Oak Militia. I'm your host, NC Scout, coming to you live from the rural foothills of North Carolina. And I'm coming back with another episode. Man, it's been a couple of weeks. Had a whole lot going on. Did a couple of classes back to back. I've had a whole lot of traveling over the past 30 days. But I'm happy to be back here with you. And man, there is a lot going on in the world. But first and foremost, before we dive into anything else, some of the most important breaking news out of the past several days. Unfortunately, I'm still mourning the loss of the great, irreplaceable national treasure that was Charlie Daniels. The man was more than just a country music legend. Country legend, rock legend, one of the most amazing and talented musicians I think that has ever walked the earth. Fortunately, I got to watch him live and got to experience that. And man, I've been to a lot of shows, seen a lot of artists play in my lifetime. A lot of legendary artists, a lot of underground artists, a lot of guys, you know, everywhere in between. And for everybody that's a fan of this podcast or has listened to me in the past, you'll know that I'm a pretty serious music fan. And, man, Charlie Daniels, he was absolutely irreplaceable. There ain't nobody like him. And there never will be another one like him. I've seen a lot of shows that had energy. I've seen a lot of shows that were just, you know, you're on your feet the whole time and you were just wide open. And in a lot of different genres, man. But with Charlie transcended everything. I mean, it didn't matter what the audience was or what they were into when he was playing. He was one of those guys that you sat back and you respected no matter what your flavor of music might be. And for him, you know, I've got complete collections of Charlie Daniels. I've got several of his basement tapes, some of the unfinished stuff. Been a big fan of his, and what a lot of folks don't know nowadays, people from my generation, the millennial generation, they only see Charlie Daniels for what he was in his later years. He's a great American, super patriotic, very, very religious, and I can tell you that he it wasn't something he just wore on his sleeve. He believed it. You know, he lived it. He absolutely lived it. And he put his money where his mouth was. And he took a stand. And that's pretty amazing. But don't overlook the contributions the man made to music in general as well. You know, it as great as I believe his political views were and are, his contributions to the entire genre of Southern rock and what he was able to do, was just really amazing. Really, really amazing. you know, if you go back and you really listen to some of the stuff that he was doing around the time that he released, you know, the Legend of Woolly Swamp and, you know, Uneasy Rider and these things that were going on back then, way back then, and for folks that have grown up in the South like I have, that music and the message of that music really resonates with us. You know, and Charlie, you know, we'll miss you, brother. We'll miss you. You're going to be on the other side, but I can tell you that for me and mine, we will be listening to your music for as long as I have breath in my life. So here's to you, and God bless. We're back. There's a number of things that I feel like we need to address together on this podcast that we need to talk about since our last one. And right off the bat, man, they're bringing the war to your front door. They're bringing the war to your front door. You know, are you prepared to even comprehend what that means? And, you know, for some folks out there, I'm not so sure that they do. We're in a really, really dangerous time here in the United States. You know, some people would argue it's the former United States. I don't. I love my country. I love my country. It was one that that I volunteered to lay down my life for, and I still love my country. I love my country because it's everything that these people hate, and that's why I love it, in spite of them, because they hate you and I. They hate the people who are out there every day who make this great nation what it is. You know, when they're out there, when they're in the streets and they're protesting, they're not even protesting against the fact that something is unequal. They're protesting against the fact that you even exist. And you have to understand that. They don't want equality, right? They don't want equality. They don't want fairness. They don't want these things. What they want is you gone. They want this nation gone. They say that this nation, its founding was unfair, right? They want you gone. And they don't mean they're going to ask you to leave. The firing squads always follow the communist revolution for the people who lost. And you have to understand that. You need to let that sink in. That these people want blood, and they're going to get it one way or another. You have to be strong. Folks, you have to harden up, and you have to lose this mentality of, I'm going to just retreat, or I'm just going to bug out when the time is, and I'll just go to my little place out in the middle of nowhere, and nobody's ever going to bother me, and I'll be fine. Well, I got news for you. Somebody is going to come bother you. Somebody is going to come bother you. They're going to come bother you. They're going to impose their will on you one way or another. And you can sit there and you can say, well, no, that ain't going to happen to me because we're always going to be armed. What good is being armed if you don't stand up to the face of evil? Huh? Tell me. If you're not willing to stand up and you're not willing to make a stand at some point and draw the line and say, no, no longer, you're not going to do this, what are you doing? If you're always backpedaling, and you're always saying, well, you know, maybe we'll just appease them. Maybe we'll give them a little more. Maybe they'll go away. Maybe it'll just fade away. It's not going to fade away. Folks, it's not going to fade away. You give them one piece. You give them one little inch. You give them what you think that they want. And they're going to come take something else from you. It's the next step. It's the next piece in the puzzle. What they are after and what they want is a full-blown communist revolution in this nation. Now, are you going to stand in the way of that, or are you going to be a friggin' speed bump? You know, I've seen a lot of really stupid things that have been posted online in different places. And a lot of that crap I just look at and I say, whatever, man, it's the noise floor. I don't care. Because I don't. But what I will say to those people is this. You know, by you sitting there commenting on something online that you may or may not like, you telling the world what makes you feel good, what you like or what you don't like, what are you doing? You know, you sit there and you say, well, I have the freedom of speech and I this, that, and the other. Really? Do you? Because I would argue that, as any philosopher already knows, anybody that's been to a 101 level philosophy course, that with a right comes a duty. And so if you're going to sit here and you're going to argue with me over I have a freedom of speech, well, you also have a duty to have something to say. Right? Yes or no? And if you ain't got crap to say, and you don't have anything valuable to add, what good are you? I travel this nation. I've spent a lot of time putting myself out there to get people ready for what's coming. A lot of time. I can't get enough people ready for what's coming, but I can do my damnedest. I'm just one person. You see, I never gave up my oath. When I enlisted in the United States Army, I never gave up. When I got out, nah. I'm going to keep going, and I'm going to keep fighting. because there was this little clause in there that said something about enemies foreign and domestic. We got domestic enemies on our streets. They are advocating a violent overthrow of the United States government. Now, for all the leftists that are going to listen to this, I know that there's a handful of you out there. You're going to sit and say, well, you guys said the same thing about Obama. Well, it might be partly true, but we were ready, willing, and able to point out all of the things that he did that were contrary to the Constitution of the United States, which was substantial, including creating an intelligence apparatus that was designed to overthrow the duly elected president of the United States. We saw it. It was there. It's well documented. And yet, here we are. There is no rule of law. So for all the folks talking about, well, you know, what about without rule of law and this, that, and the other, you're living in a world without rule of law. Here you are. They're burning down things in your streets. They're coming to your front door. I mean, what else do you need? We have blatant criminals out there that tried to overthrow the president of the United States. I mean, for so long, folks on the right have been accused of being anti-government, anti, you know, whatever. And here we are. They legitimately are. And what are you doing about it? Nothing. You just sit back and take it. I'm doing the best I can every single day to do the most that I can for the most people. And so for you little haters out there that have posted your little snide comments in a few places, you think you're going to dig at me? You think you're going to dig at my team? You think that you're going to nip at my heels? All I got to say to you is just damn good. Means I'm doing my job. So, I want to read for you real quick a comment that was left on American Partisan that I think is really significant, and it kind of ties in with the last section. Kind of the miscommunication there between, or should I rather say the deception there between the real goal of the McCloskey incident that happened in St. Louis and the real goal. So as a little bit of context behind that, you know, in case you didn't know, you were living under a rock. McCloskey and his wife, I don't remember what their first names are and don't really care. They were the two that had a protest going on in their gated community and stood out in front of their house and were recorded. And he was, you know, all ready to shoot at the hip with his M16 or, you know, whatever it was. Looked like an A2 configuration, but who really cares? And his wife was busy pointing with her nickel-plated 380 or whatever that thing was. I didn't watch the whole thing because it was stupid. And just by their posture, I mean, obviously they had no idea what they were doing. And they also completely missed the fact that they walked into an ambush. And I'm not talking about an ambush in like the conventional tactics sense, but they absolutely walked into an unconventional warfare. ambush that utilized the media. Because, as I've talked about in the past, we're fighting a fifth generation war. You know, this communist revolution, the idea of mass collective action in the streets, is not something that is really understood on the right. Because at the end of the day, you have really two sides of the house in all this. Any political movement out there that turns violent is one of two things. It's either revolutionary or reactionary. And most common on the left, you're going to have revolution. Most common on the right is going to be reaction or reactionary to whatever the left is doing. And that's exactly what's happening now. The fact that most folks don't understand this is concerning, especially if they've been students of this for a while. However, the fact that this is missed on a lot of people is also not surprising. So, with that said, let's talk about what the real ambush was. The real ambush was to have a bunch of minority people outside in a wealthy, predominantly white neighborhood, probably exclusively white neighborhood, in St. Louis, a city that has been racked with problems, racial issues for a while. And what they wanted to do was to provoke a negative response coming out so that they were able to film that response. Now, the left is very adept at understanding that most people are not prone to violence. Especially when you have a lot of social capital, you have a whole lot to lose. So what is social capital? Social capital is this idea that the more attachments you have to the larger society, you got more stuff to lose, the less violent you're going to be. And in most cases, I would agree with that. There's a few that, you know, maybe not, but in most cases, I would agree with that statement. So let's take a look at McCluskey. McCluskey is a prominent attorney in the St. Louis area. He's a criminal defense attorney. And for all the lawyers that might be listening to this, you know, criminal defense attorneys are kind of known to be pretty shady. I'm not calling them scumbags, but they, you know, they're known to be a little on the shady side. And he definitely was no right-wing guy. None of that matters. Okay, all of those facts, all of that stuff is irrelevant. What does matter is that he is wealthy, he's white, and they're going to bait him into a trap. What was the trap? Well, you have to understand that the other part of that is every one of these little activist groups that get out there will have a journalist with them. I promise you that there's going to be a J school student who's looking to get their big break that is embedded with each one of these little activist cells that is organizing these so-called protests. And they knew what they needed to do was frame up a scenario where this wealthy guy who's completely out of touch with society is going to come out, is going to pull a gun, and is going to do something stupid. You didn't see the video that led up to the incident. You didn't see any of that. What you did see was him and his wife, the culmination of it, them coming out, waving guns at everybody, acting a fool, and now all of a sudden, he's looking at losing his law license. He definitely won't have any firearms anymore, and that guy's probably going to lose a substantial amount of everything he's worked for his entire life. Why? Because he didn't recognize that he needed to be comfortable with violence. Yeah, I said it. He walked right into an ambush. An ambush with cameras. It was tailor-made. So I want to read for you this comment that was left to give you an idea by some guy named Third Monkey. I don't know who he is. And I quote, "One thing that I took from, of all places, the lawyers in St. Louis that defended their home from the riot, even though their hardware and their skill level was less than optimal, they had the one thing that made the difference in the encounter. They were willing to engage. They did not complain on a keyboard. They got up and did what needed to be done. There are damn few patriots that can make that claim today. Yeah, well, nah, buddy. Sorry. Listen, they weren't ready to do business. They weren't ready to get out there and do what needed to be done because they were just waving guns around. Okay? When somebody waves a firearm around the way that they did, that person's not going to shoot it. When somebody steps outside of their home with a firearm, generally, they're not going to shoot it. You're more secure inside of your home. You have cover, you have concealment, you have barricades. And as anybody who's trained with me understands, because in the firearms training that I do, we work around cover and concealment. I got barricade drills that we do. You know, you fight from behind cover and from your vantage points. So, you know, I can agree with you on the fact that this guy had absolutely no idea what he was doing. But the rest, nah, you're dead wrong, brother. Dead wrong. That guy wasn't willing. He thought that, well, you know what, if I pull my gun out because they threatened to kill my dog, that I can stand out in front of my house and they'll be scared of a firearm and they'll just go away. Which didn't happen. That was exactly not what happened. They weren't scared of him. They weren't scared of his wife, because if they were, they wouldn't have filmed it. Nobody would have stood there and recorded it with their phone. They knew that him pointing a weapon from the hip was an empty threat, because it was. And they also knew that they got exactly what they were looking for, which they did. Folks, you have got to get smarter about this. You have got to get smarter about this. The leftists will not use conventional tactics. You are in an unconventional war. And when they are using the media, because, yeah, the media is on their side, all right? The media is on their side. Stop being a consumer of media. Stop being a passenger in life and start thinking. Think outside the box. Be a critical thinker. Start evaluating your situations. And most of all, start getting comfortable with the idea that you're going to have to get violent. Let that sink in. This isn't a game. You know, this is something that we've been arguing on American Partisan for a long time now. You know, the whole reason that I do what I do is because I understand what's happening. I spend a huge amount of my life, I'm fully dedicated to training people across this great nation in a multitude of tasks, using the combat knowledge that I earned, that I fought for, to try and give our side a fighting chance. You know, this isn't about some stupid split time. Oh, I shot a target that's standing still from 5 meters or 7 meters or however the hell far. Okay, great. You know, tactics. Shooting a stationary target's not a tactic. Shooting is one of two things. I tell people this in class. Shooting is one of two things. Either it's a culmination of great tactics or it's a failure of bad ones. And normally, if it's a culmination of great tactics, you're only shooting a couple times. If it's a failure of bad tactics, you're going to be shooting a lot until you ain't shooting anymore. And let that sink in. Folks, they're bringing the war to your front door. So on that note, you've probably noticed that there ain't a whole lot of ammunition to be had floating around out there. Now, I've been advocating on this program that you need to be buying ammo. Of course, I've been plugging our site supporters, ammo.com, Palmetto State Armory, right? But they're mostly sold out, and where you do find it, there's pretty significant price increase because just is what it is. It's a sign of the times. Folks, this is more serious than 2008. I mean, I remember 2008, you know, when Obama got elected and the run on ammunition that happened then. It's pretty crazy times, but, you know, where we are in this country right now, the slow burn between 2008 to now, there's 12 years. You know, are we going to make it past November? I don't know. So, if you didn't get enough ammo, and none of us did, let's be honest, what else is going to go next? So you had your warning with COVID-19, food shortages. Maybe you need to get some food squared away. Maybe the ammo is going to be a little hard to come by. Some of it will come back. It's going to be expensive. It is going to be expensive. But how about the food? You know, we were talking about in class this past weekend in my fighting carbine class, after class, in between the day and night portions of the first day, because I train folks at night too. We were talking about food shortages and growing seasons and all of the labor and the learning curve that goes into growing your own food. And it's a tall task. If you're not used to growing your own food where you live, or even understanding how much you need to grow, you know, you're really getting into dicey territory, and that's where freeze-dried food comes in. Now, to my knowledge, there's still a pretty serious shortage of a lot of outlets. However, ReadyWise has you covered. They're one of AP's site affiliates. Go check them out. Hey, and at the end of the day, it's calories. I mean, I've got a good stash of their stuff. I've tried all the freeze-dried food companies, all the major ones anyway, and they're all pretty much the same. They're tit for tat. You know, ReadyWise, go check them out. Get yourself squared away now while you can. And on that note, what else is going to disappear? So all these people have been buying up ammunition like crazy. What about the mags? How many mags you got? So, in my fighting carbine course, one of the topics that we cover in every one of them that I run is magazine changes. You know, basic weapons manipulation flows right into magazine changes, which flows into your malfunction drills. And at the end of the day, what's more important, your life or changing that magazine? Now, there's two types of magazine reloads. There's a speed reload. And then, in turn, there's an admin reload. Admin reload has magazine retention. It means that you're taking that empty magazine or nearly empty magazine out, and you're going to hold on to it. Speed reload, hey, I'm in the middle of combat. My weapon went dry, or something is wrong. Maybe I didn't load enough rounds in it. Got to change mags, right? I need to do it in a hurry. You're not retaining that mag. Okay, it's going to go away. And so when you take that into account, how many magazines do you have? I've had people come to class and I ask them that question. And they'll say, well, you know, I got 6 or I got 8 or I got 10 or whatever. You know, that's the wrong answer. If you have one fighting rifle, one fighting carbine, right? We'll say an AR-15. How many magazines do you have? Yeah, if you tell me 10, then you need to have 20. If you have 20, then you need to have 30. Why? Because you're going to go through them. That's why. And for all you people that are out there saying, oh, well, I'll, you know, whatever, I'll get more, it'll be, you know, combat reload or whatever. You know, I addressed that too in the scout course. In my scout course, small unit tactics course, we cover a lot of different things: stalking, ambush, counter ambush. All right. Combat reload of a weapon. You don't have time while you're clearing an objective to sit there and scour that dude that you just knocked off. You scour his ammo and equipment. because I don't give you that amount of time. You have to get off the X before his buddies get there. All right? So, it's better to have the gear that you need now than wait till later and say, oh, well, you know, I'll be good or whatever the case might be. Because if you have it in hand now, you don't have to worry about getting it later. And if you do have the ability to get it later on, well, then it's just icing on the cake, right? So whether it's an AR, whether it's AK, whether it's a M14 or, you know, whatever weapon system, whatever weapon platform you're running, you need to be squaring your mags away. Gun Mag Warehouse. It's an American Partisan Site affiliate. Good company. I've done a lot of business with them. I've probably bought 50 AK mags from them just in the past few months alone. And, I mean, I didn't need any more, but I picked up more. Why? Because I can sit and say that maybe I don't need any more. I probably do. Right? I probably do. And I'm going to get more because you never know. So the last thing in tonight's podcast that I want to cover is concerning people who don't necessarily know what they're talking about or don't necessarily have the correct frame of reference, and they're going to get out there and give some advice that I kind of feel is not only a little shaky, but very, very detrimental. So, getting down to brass tacks, I don't pay a lot of attention to the larger shooting community, so to speak. I don't really care about the different people's personalities or the different trainers that are out there, or really, you know, kind of get caught up in people's drama and stuff. Because, man, I don't care. I don't have the time for that. You know, you could probably hear it in my voice. You know, I spend time focusing on my own shit. Okay, that's the key to success. Focus on your own shit. And everybody else will fall by the wayside, right? I don't start drama, as you know, you guys know out there that have trained with me, because I just don't care. I've had a lot of people with taking little nips at me and stuff, man, that's fine. Do what you do. But, when I do see something that is patently bad, I feel a duty to explain it and kind of approach it from an objective standpoint. And, you know, again, as everybody who's trained with me knows, I'm going to explain the background and the base of knowledge behind this. You know, why am I telling you this? Because the last thing that I ever wanted as a soldier was to have my time wasted, right? That was the thing that I hated. And I also wanted to know exactly why it was I was doing something. What was the logic behind it? So let's talk about it. Again, I'm not a big YouTube person. I really don't care about, you know, 99.8% of the stuff that is going on out there. But there was a video that was made a couple weeks ago. Several people sent it to me in emails. A couple of them I responded to. The rest, you know, sorry, you just didn't make the cut that day, because I got tired of saying the same thing over and over again, and I had more important people to talk to. You know, not that you're not important, but the video topic just wasn't big on me. But this guy named T-Rex Arms, you know, man, he's a civilian, doesn't have any military background, you know, shoots fast, stationary targets, okay, whatever. Don't have any beef with you, brother. You do what you do. But what I will say is, when it comes to communications, man, you really need to stay in your lane. There was a video that was made where there was this smartphone app called ATAC or something like that, where you're basically using mesh networking to create a Blue Force tracker. And so for all you civilians out there, if you don't know what a Blue Force tracker is, it is a computer that is in a armored vehicle in the Army that it's kind of like Command and Conquer. Has a little overlay and has everybody's positions on it on a map, and you know, it and keeps track of people as they're moving. In the ham radio world, they have something similar, and I'm not really a fan of it. I'm not really a fan of anything that involves cell phones. And let's talk about this. First thing is, you don't want to have anything that's tracking your people's positions, especially if you're talking about being a partisan working in a non-permissive environment. Now, whether that's an urban environment, whether it's a woodland environment, or, you know, rural, or wherever the hell it is that you're working, you do not want to have any piece of equipment that has intelligence value that you can give to an enemy. So every piece of gear, whether it is your own personal fighting equipment, whether it's your weapon, whether it's, you know, all the way down to your whatever ID cards you're carrying in your pocket, whether it's a driver's license or whatever, which you shouldn't have on you if you're going out to do business. Cell phones are really, really, really bad. Smartphones are hideously bad. Okay, and you can sit and say, well, I'm going to go and I'm going to buy a used Android phone and whatever. Listen, you don't understand how cell phones in the United States and in the entire world actually work. Even if they're not activated, even if they don't have a plan on them, the second that they have a battery attached, they are transmitting. Okay, they're giving out geolocation data. And as soon as they're paired with another phone in close proximity, then there is a match somewhere. All right, you're creating metadata. You're creating little bits of data. Okay, so that's strike number one. And let me tell you this. We hunted guys in Afghanistan. We did in Iraq too, but in Afghanistan, we were very, very adept at hunting guys just based off of their cell phone data. We could pull them within 3 seconds of them activating a phone. Think about that, within 3 seconds. And that was over a decade ago. So think about what can be done now here in the United States. So you're going to be telling people that they need to have a cell phone in their pocket to use this little silly tracking app, right? Okay. Second problem, you got a map with the location of your team on it. Okay, so what if your team gets, you know, your guys, your little fire team, your LGOP, your little group of preppers gets rolled up and you got another fire team on the next ridgeline over. And now, let's say it's me and my guys that just rolled you up. Now I know where your boys are. Did you think about that? Nah, you probably didn't. See, you got to understand something. Technology is an enabler, right? Enablers do not replace skill, ever. And if you're going to sit there and you're going to try and throw high-tech things at stuff that is a software problem, right? I should say, correction, you're going to throw software at what is a hardware problem. Because it is training, right? It's training. It's experience. It's knowing how to implement your equipment. I mean, man, you know, again, don't get into drama. I don't sit here and start stuff with people. I think everybody adds something to the training community, right? I might poke fun at some things, but I mean, it is what it is. The important thing is that you're getting out there and training. But when I see something that bad, I have a duty to call it out, because I know there's a lot of people in this community that probably have seen that and were wondering. Shouldn't be doing it. Shouldn't be doing it. Your IMEI number, your IMSI number, all those things, all that data that is on that phone. And as soon as you activate it, it starts pinging towers. It starts locating you so that you can use that app. It's just bad news, man. It's just bad news. I don't suggest using the mesh networking stuff. I have some people that have come to class asking about that, and that might be fine in certain contexts, very specific contexts. Maybe I'm defending a neighborhood or something, whatever the case might be, in a defensive posture. But when you're talking about going operational, actually hitting the field, the mesh network stuff and cell phones and all that needs to be left in a rucksack somewhere, or destroyed, you know. And that begs the question too: when a team is compromised, we had a thing called destruction plan, and you know you're blowing up your equipment, you're destroying it. So whatever intelligence value there might have been gained from it gets destroyed. Do you have a destruction plan? How are you going to destroy that phone? So I've seen guys from a very specific intelligence group be able to pull data off of a burnt up phone out of a fire that Taliban guys were burning in a pit trying to get rid of, and they were still able to pull information off of that. So, you know, what is your destruction plan? So, I mean, if you're going to be running a cell phone app, okay, what's your how are you going to get rid of that? You know, now in the past, and something that we do in class is use a tablet, Android tablet, to transmit messages using FL Digi. It's a slightly different thing. The first thing is, and everybody that I've taught this to, I explain it to in very good detail, that you're getting a tablet that has no cell phone capability. I very specifically advocate you using a tablet for this because it has no cell phone transmitting capability in it. Now, there's probably some phones floating around out there, some older Androids and stuff that, you know, you can still pull the battery out of, that you could desolder the antenna. And if you're skilled enough to do that, then cool. You know, you also might cook the phone in the process of doing that, though, because the phone's going to always try and transmit. Right. So something to think about. Tablet, on the other hand, being used in conjunction with that little $25 Baofeng, sending messages that way, and you actually put some planning into your operation rather than just relying on technology and equipment, get you a little bit further. It'll get you a little bit further. But again, it's just me, just one man's opinion. I'm speaking from experience, but you know, what would I know? What would I know? I'm not the cool YouTube guy, and don't aspire to be, obviously. Not about glitz and glamour. I'm about skills. So anyway, with that said, we began the show talking about great man Charlie Daniels, losing him, North Carolina native, and as stinging as that loss was, we lost another great man in our community, in the Patriot community, Ole Remus of the Woodpile Report. And I'd like to give a special shout out to him as well. You know, weekly, his Woodpile Report was one that I looked forward to, and I know that a lot of you did too. And, you know, what I most appreciated about Remus and about what he brought to the community was not that he was just running some news aggregator site or whatever the case might be. He actually talked about art. He talked about beautiful things. He talked about American life, American greatness, a time and an era that Americans were doing wonderful things and things to be appreciated and admired. You know, he had art, he had Americana, he had Western civilization. In many ways, he gave us something and reminded us of why Western civilization is a thing to be saved. Because we achieved all this. We achieved. We went out and fought for it. And so here we are. We're at a crossroads, America. You know, we can sit and say, make America great again. And we can. And we will. And just know that the other side seeks to tear it all down. And it doesn't matter whether you want to vote for, you know, candidate X or whoever, you know, should you support Trump or whatever the case might be. Maybe you don't believe in the system at all, but just understand that you don't want to play into their hands either. I know what side I'm on in all this. I would strongly advise you to sit back and evaluate. Folks, it's going to get a whole lot worse before it gets better. We're just seeing the beginning of this now. Get yourselves squared away. And in the meantime, I'll talk to you soon. If you're interested in training, I've got a heck of a schedule lined up. I'm going to be rocking and rolling throughout the rest of the year. Still got a few spots left in the tracking course coming up the 14th, 16th of August. That's going to be here at my training site in North Carolina. Got a fighting AK class that I have a couple of spots left in as well. The last weekend of August, the 29th and 30th. Scout course, 4-6 September. That one is packed full. I've actually got more people than I typically like in that class that's in there now. So if you missed out on that, don't worry. We got another one at the end of October in Tennessee. That's being hosted by Ready Made Resources. So come on out. And if you're out west, I'm going to be back out there. The Readout Communications course, which is the RTO, Advanced RTO and the Signals Intelligence course, 15th through the 20th of September. Come on out. You know, come on out. I got a few spots left in that. Just a couple days prior to that, I'm going to be in Wyoming hosting a scout course at the same location, 11th through the 13th of September. Come on out to that too. You know, if you are looking for something that's a little bit different, we cover intermediate distance marksmanship out to 500 meters in the scout course, stalking skills, small unit skills, how to infiltrate an area, how to stalk through the woods, and in the case out there in Wyoming, we're going to be out in desert and high plains, but as well as the mountains. But how to move quietly and effectively, you know, actually using your weapons platforms, right? Fighting Carbine, just came off of that last weekend. Class was absolutely amazing. Everybody in there, I didn't hear one single complaint about the heat. And man, oh man, it was hot. But, you know, didn't hear one complaint about the heat at all. Everybody showed up. They were ready to train. They were switched on. And a lot of great folks got really good training while they were out there. But we're going to be doing another one 17th to the 18th of October. And I've also got a TC3 Tactical Combat Casualty Care course on the 7th and 8th of November here in North Carolina. You know, folks, the way of the warrior is training, right? These skills, you can only pick up so much by listening to a podcast or watching YouTube or reading websites like American Partisan, right? There's only so much that you're going to be able to pick up. I'm telling you, come out to a class. You know, I offer the absolute most that I can to my students in a weekend, or in some cases like the readout communications course over a week. I'm going to give you everything 100% and then some, because it's my duty. My instructors, where I have an AI or a primary instructor for the course, in the case of TC3 and the tracking course, they're going to give you 100%. I selected these guys based on their knowledge and their ability to teach. Come on out. You are going to get a jump start in whatever the topic is. Brushbeater.wordpress.com. Check out the training calendar that is on there. And under packing list, you know, I've got my packing lists that are up there. If there's something you don't have for a course, let me know. I would rather have you come out and train and gain the skill and understand why that piece of gear is relevant, rather than you go out and spend a bunch of money buying something and then not understand why you even have it. It's just my philosophy. But at the end of the day, folks, as long as you're out there getting training, you know, whether you're putting in that time at the range or whether you're going to a bunch of other classes or whatever the course might be that you're attending, you got to get out there and do it. You know, the emails that are coming from individuals saying, you know, hey, I don't have a group, or I don't have this, I don't have that, but I, you know, how do I build that? My answer is the same every time. Go to a class. Get training. Get training. You're going to be meeting people. You're going to be working with people. You're going to make friends, right? You're going to make those connections. Hey, we have this shared experience. That's the best way to do it. That is the best way to do it. And I've got a huge amount of pride in the fact that I've been able to network people who otherwise never would have crossed paths in many regions of the United States. Very, very proud of that. We've got some big things coming up for American Partisan. We're going to be expanding some of our operations, and I think that you guys are going to like it. But I'm full of surprises. Anyhow, I'll talk to you soon. God bless, stay safe, and good night.